Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I am your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we are talking about Blue Submarine, which was a random choice for this week. But before all that, we were talking about some of the anime that are coming out, some things that are going to be getting uploaded to Crunchyroll, kind of caught up a little bit because it's been a little bit of time as well. And also, before we really dive into it, we got a little bit of feedback from listeners on Spotify, and I would very much like to respond to said individuals. So one of the first ones that we had was for When the Wind Rises. There was a question that was posted on Spotify. It says, what did you think about the episode? They said, DarkC26 says, a very complete review of a great movie. From my point of view, I liked the way the movie showed the war period by not showing anything concrete and at the same time showing that cruelty of it from afar. I 100% agree with that response. It is a great viewpoint of how cruel and hard it can be to individuals, and at the exact same time, the viewpoint of everyone. It's a very humanizing movie, I feel.
Well, not only that, it's a fantastic way to also show that you can say that a bad thing happened that everyone knows about without making it the main focus.
Exactly. We also got one for Armitage the Third, episode 234, which is one that we just published a couple of weeks ago. And it's from Beyonce and Stefan. Loved the show back in the day. All right, the costumes are totally ridiculous, but the story of Naomi Armitage and the Thirds is compulsive stuff. Did Blade Runner 2049 borrow this from the show? I would not be surprised if they did. I feel like Armitage the Third did get some inspiration from Blade Runner, and I would not be surprised if the sequel to Blade Runner actually took inspiration from this. I mean, like, it's a cult classic, that is for sure, and it's been around for quite a while. So for it to have not been inspired, I would find that hard to believe.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's been a while since I've seen Blade Runner, but the styles look similar at the very least.
Well, this is Blade Runner's 2049 is one that came out just a few years ago. It's
pretty new. Definitely haven't seen that one.
Yeah.
I definitely have not seen that one.
Okay. Armitage Third came out after Blade Runner, and Blade Runner 2049 came out just fairly recently being a relative term.
I was gonna say in comparison to the other two, something I'd gladly watch. If it's anything close to Armitage, then either in story or in look, I can't really say I would go against it.
Right. Well, maybe. If you want to catch part of the wider conversation in general that we had, because we did visit these questions a little bit beforehand too, patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast, $1 a month will get you access to that bonus content. Or for anything else, honestly, you can go to featuredanimepodcast.com, all the links, all the affiliate notes, everything like that, links to the podcast, all of it's there for you to be able to view. And it is very much appreciated. If you do click on those links, we do get a little bit of a kickback if you do buy something using those links. And now, onto the meat and brotatoes, dare I say?
Mm-hmm. Dare you say.
Oh, that totally reminds me of something. I'll have to actually talk about this after the fact.
okay.
So Blue Submarine number 6 came out in October 1998 and ran all the way through March 2000. Producer for it is Bandai Namco, studio, one of the producers, at least the one that I could find is Bandai Namco. Studio for it is Gonzo. It's based off of a manga. The genre is for action adventure, sci-fi, mecha, military, and shonen. And it's only 4 episodes long, each episode varying in length anywhere from 30 minutes to 45 minutes. So that's it. That's all I got. That's honestly it, man. I mean, I got nothing else going on for it. The brief synopsis for the show, honestly, is it's once famous and well-respected scientist, Zorndyke, has bred a new type of living individual. I'm also assuming that he was able to genetically modify current living beings to survive in the oceans of the world, and as a result he's genetically modified and grown these other individuals to go around the earth, destroy humans and fight and destroy the humans of the world, and so that way it's covered in water and they are able to overtake the world. It is up to Blue Submarine number 6, yes, the exact same name as the anime, and the rest of the Blue Fleet to put an end to Zorndyke's madness and stop his creations and save humanity.
That's, yes. Just curious.
Yes.
Did you get, when you watched this, and you are, the synopsis you basically just said was the whole story. Good versus evil, kind of, sort of, but not really. But did you get similarities between this and another show we may have reviewed in the past?
I mean, in terms of the jazzy kind of feel, I feel like there was like some, definitely some Cowboy Bebop vibes going on there for me.
Oh, yeah. They definitely had pull from Cowboy Bebop, but specifically the story is what I'm referring to. Of aquatic life versus non-aquatic life, and how two scientists were essentially the originator of the ideals that, oh, we need to go aquatic. We need to go, and then we need to stay on land. We need to go aquatic, and then a fight. No?
Not ringing a bell.
Okay. Well, let me tell you about this other anime that I found similar. Maybe if I say it a little bit more, you'll be like, oh, yeah, I remember that.
Well, can you just tell me the name?
I don't remember the name. That was you're good with the names.
You're killing me, man.
Basically, what happens is you've got these outer space people who are fighting these jellyfish octopus things, right?
Oh, and
there you go.
We actually reviewed it. We actually did a review on it.
Okay, good. Yeah, I thought we might have, but I can't for the life of me remember the name.
It's God damn it. It begins with a G, gargantuan, something like that.
Begins with a G, huh?
It's a Gargantia on the Vandorous planet.
Yes. Gargantia. Yeah,
that came out 13 years after Blue Submarine.
Oh, I was going to say 13 years ago. Damn.
So yeah. No, it came out 10 years ago.
Dear Lord, how old are we? Yeah. 4/14, 2013. Dear Lord.
Yep. So
anyway, so the reason I bring that up is in my mind, the story seems like it's closer to the origination point of that. Like the Blue Submarine, in my mind, Blue Submarine, let's assume they're on the same path, right? It would take place far closer to the separation point. Whereas the gargantuan is already eons from now. But you still have these two species that originated from a difference of opinion, basically.
That, man, I could see where you're reaching for, but that's not a good reach. It's not a good reach for you.
I need to stretch first.
You need to stretch first.
But for yeah, sure. I, that, I, that's where I was feeling the similarities from. And I was like, I wonder if anybody else saw it too.
No, just you. At least just between you and I, just you. Yeah, that's a,
which
that's
is quite interesting considering you've got a far better memory than me for names. Case in point, you remembered, oh, it starts with a G. I'm like, oh, there's water in it.
I mean, there's a lot of anime out there that has water in it. So I mean, like, I would hope.
And then you could shift through all that crowd to be, that's exactly it. That being said, this whole thing, the war that we're going through, the reason that Blue Submarine Number 6 is even a thing to fight, to try to survive, to strive, is because one guy in power thought, you know what? I don't care anymore. Humans need to reset, and I'm going to go create things that'll help that happen. And the dude basically becomes not less than human, but like not human at all, and creates his own animal beings. I'm not even going to say inbred beings, because I don't think that there's any genetic similarity there, but everyone calls him Papa. Everyone looks at him like a father figure, and that's fair. He is their creator.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's exactly what I was going to say. He did create them. So it's only natural that they would have that draw to him and have it be a kind of like a paternal instinct type of thing, you know?
Yeah. I didn't mean to like anything bad by it, or, you know, if you could even construe anything bad, but it's interesting that philosophies alter something so much to the point where we can have a literal, would you even call this an epoch? And like a, no, epoch would be time. Anyway, this would be a really awesome story from, now granted, we're starting in the middle of the story. Like if we start at the beginning, I feel like there wouldn't be as much suspense as there was in this show, which they did a really good job at keeping you on edge most of the time.
If you say so.
I felt they did, because I was probably more invested in it than you were.
Yeah, you were.
also fair.
It's not that the story was bad. I mean, like, the music is kind of like where it really got me. The music is where, that's where it drew me in, right? The music is where it drew me. But it starts off, and how it starts off is you have a seemingly a young woman kind of wandering the slums, or part of the last remnants of human civilization anyways, searching for a guy with her counterpart, trying to find someone very in particular. And as a result, they do find him, and why they kept saying, oh, he's the best there ever was. He's the best. He's great. He's a great submarine pilot, and there's no one better than him, and everything like that. Like, I get it. But the dude just seemed really, really sad. And when we got to see him in action, it was lackluster.
I wouldn't quite say lackluster. I feel like the way that he was portrayed and the abilities that he was given were a little bit underrepresented, because apparently he liked doing things on his own, and he wasn't able to because no one trusted him, because apparently he killed his last pilot or co-pilot.
Well, it's not that he killed his last co-pilot. It's that his last co-pilot just kind of died or disappeared, under mysterious circumstances. Right. And yeah. they do delve into it, right? They do go into the details for it. So it's not like you're never given an explanation. You are given an explanation. But even that explanation was like, he's really not that great of a guy. It's actually someone else.
Yeah. what we were told and what we got, two very different things. But it just, he was good. Don't get me wrong. He was probably one of their better pilots.
Which is not saying a lot.
True. It's not. Well, we didn't really get to see all that much.
What we saw was pure disappointment. He's like, I'll buy you 15 minutes at one point. And he bought him 30 seconds.
You don't know. It could be 15 minutes.
He you know, part of the him trying to get out of the one area probably took him all of 13 minutes. He spent 2 minutes, a minute and a half going to a particular destination. And then in that 30 seconds that he was there, he got taken out. So, yeah, you know what? Fair enough. 15 minutes. He lasted. He lasted the 15 minutes that he said.
He's gone the distance. He's built for speed.
He's built for trash.
Yeah, well, I mean, his whole saga, his whole life, it felt like he was being saved by somebody else and getting accolades for being saved. His only benefit showed up in a form of military weakness. And I know that sounds kind of weird, like, to say it especially specifically that way, but typically anybody would act like his female partner. Oh shit, there's the enemy, fire. He was like, no, let's show compassion to this thing that just took out five of my people we were with, killed them all. But no, let's save her. Let's save this one thing. And again, this is where my dad showed up. And he was like, oh, fish boobs? Really? My dad was joking about the fact that, like, that's probably the only reason that he ended up saving this the enemy is because the enemy happened to be naked.
Yeah, 100%. That is exactly it. I mean, like, but he also made a comment. He also kept saying, why do I keep getting saved from the sea? Like, why do I keep getting saved? Like, I guess all I'm good for is getting saved. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I agreed with his statement when he was moping and saying all he ever does is just get saved. Yes.
Yeah.
100%. You are a crap pilot. You're horrible at your job. I don't know why they even invested the time to come and get you. You've been useless the whole time. And yet, here you are. Thank you, Hayami. You have officially made me hate another main protagonist.
What I don't get, for the record, the feeling I got from what you were just saying was very similar. There's a meme out there from an old, I want to say, Adam Sandler film where he asked a question, gave this compelling speech that meant nothing. And the guy with the giving out points says, you've made everyone stupider. I award you no points. This was a waste of time. that was the feeling I just got out of that.
Good.
We are all dumber for it. But the thing about it specifically was he was portrayed as this ultimate badass that you couldn't sneak up on, that you couldn't beat, essentially. And in his opening introduction, he catches them off guard and holds them at gunpoint. And you're like, oh, this dude's a badass. This guy's seen some shit. And yeah, he's the one you don't want to mess with, only to have him be the only person you'd want to mess with.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
100%. 100%.
But what I thought was kind of cool, and I don't know if it was because he was just gave up on life or if he's got nerves of steel. But when he was stranded the second time and he was saved by the chick who he saved, he was on what was essentially a floating piece of metal, which I have no idea how that works.
Buoyancy, sir.
But metal, though, like you would need air to be buoyant. I have no idea how the metal ship in pieces doesn't sink.
Look, it was just covered in metal. It was mostly wood. It was full of air. And he was a very gassy individual at the time.
I hope to God you're either being serious or you're just like pulling my leg expertly, because the facial expression you have saying that makes me want to believe you so badly.
I am 100% messing with you, dude.
Okay, good. In my head, I'm like, but there was metal everywhere. When did you see even a stick of wood? Like, where? I missed it. I must have fallen asleep or something. But either way, yeah, like, I'm glad that you're with me on that one. But when everyone was going to attack him, all the Aqua Life were basically set on killing him. Mm-hmm. And his one detractor who saved him, who was feeding him, shows up to like argue his case, I guess. There's this, I want to say hammerhead shark kind of looking thing.
Yeah.
With a basic spear hand. Basically, that's what I saw. And thrusting it to him, at him. And dude didn't flinch. It stopped inches, if an inch away from his chest, right where
the machine. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. That hang on. Are you telling me that he has, dare I say it, plot armor?
Oh God. I was thinking you were going to go a different way with that. I was like, what, nerves of steel, delayed reaction? Like what? What are we talking about here?
No.
Like, what, was he just lagging? I don't know.
No. What it was is the reason why he didn't get stabbed is because he has plot armor.
Invisible plot armor.
Hey, no one ever said plot armor is visible. That's why it went for the kill. And when it went for the kill, it didn't stop because it wanted to stop. It stopped because it had to stop. It came in contact with that impervious piece of plot armor that made it so that way he couldn't be killed.
It was nuts. It was beyond expectation, I think is a better way of saying it. And the way that everything just happened, and he's just, I want to say the story was built in a fashion to make him be a sorry excuse of a person.
He is a sorry excuse of a person, and they don't ever change that. In fact, like even when he's in an area or in a situation where it's like, yeah, I'm kind of here, he's still not there. He's still being the trash that he is from the very beginning.
No, he wasn't trash in the beginning. Remember, they made him look badass.
They made him look great in the first 30 seconds. After that, he was trash. And I will always forever believe that he's trash beginning to end. Because it's not that he snuck up on them or anything like that in the beginning. He's just sitting there on the couch and holding a gun, aiming it at whoever's walking in. Not likely, however, the likelihood that he would actually shoot, even in the beginning, non-existent.
You're assuming he's got bullets.
I'm assuming that he's got half a brain. I mean, like, because they sure showed that he had bullets. They showed that he had bullets eventually.
Eventually.
Yes. When he came tearing in the very beginning and drifting in his boat like no one's business, zipping back and forth, doing somersaults and everything like that, back flips,
looking legit,
cartwheels, looking legit. Going wave race on this bad boy and a Tonka toy.
Basically being the only reason that anybody ever walked away from this attack. Yeah, dude looked amazing.
He looks great.
And then they nerfed him.
They did. He looked great. But what I have a hard time understanding is the dude had a small machine gun, hand machine gun. He had a small hand machine gun. He took out two of those robots,
mm-hmm,
legit, no issues, no problem, didn't blink, didn't stop, or anything like that for it. But the third one that he does after he gets in the submarine and then gets out, that he has horrible aim at that point, because, you know, keep in mind, he took out two of those metal claw things with a machine gun, but couldn't take one out with rockets and the submarine and machine guns.
But don't you know water, displacement, and density, and
plot
sometimes water. Even the temperature.
Plot water. Plot water. Well, you know, I mean, like, he's got plot armor, and then there's plot water for his counterpart. It's everywhere. 100%. You know, it's what we got. It's what we got.
You know, I'm starting to think he didn't make a single kill in the water, but every kill he ever made was on land.
Yes. That's honestly it. That's exactly it.
I'm thinking that whistle thing that was around his neck had some land in it just to keep him safe. That was his armor.
Oh, it wasn't a whistle.
The heck was that then?
It was a lighter?
It was not a lighter.
That was a lighter. It was for a cigarette.
I guess looking back, that makes kind of sense.
It was a lighter. That's why he was always flicking the flint wheel.
I thought that was then like in his pocket. Okay.
It was on his neck, even at the end.
Who's going to put a lighter around their neck?
Him? Obviously. Duh. What kind of question is that?
Okay. Sure, I guess.
Why not?
But one...
Left a nasty taste in your mouth now, did it?
Kinda. A little. Because that disrupts my whole next paragraph of what I was going to say.
Oh, were you going to try and redeem him and have him be totally awesome and killer character? It's like, oh, he never once blew his safety whistle.
Well, not quite, but I was like, his safety whistle definitely had something to do with him not dying. And the reason why everything like stopped short of just killing him is because he always was attached to land in some fashion.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not going to say to be fair. I was about to, but there's really no fairness here at all. His buddy, the reason why everyone's like, you kill everyone you're with and you're bad luck. And he's like, I'm a lone wolf and I do stuff on my own better. Basically because his ride or die, his buddy, his friend, they went on a peace mission originally and got shot at, right? And his friend was like, bro, I'm stuck. Get out of here. Save yourself. He's like, I'm not going to leave you. He's like, no, you got to go. And then his friend activated his emergency get the hell out of there card and
the ejection
left him behind.
Yeah,
the ejection. And everyone's like, why couldn't you help him? Why couldn't you stay behind? And then I'm sure he tried to defend himself, probably not very well given his speech patterns. And everyone's like, you left him to die. And then when his friend comes back, utterly mutated, horribly disfigured, like the doctor changed him from a land-based, I need air kind of person to a humanoid fish thing with telepathy.
Like, well, no, to be fair. Now they had someone there specifically to read his mind. They had a child there to read his mind.
Okay. I'll give you that.
They could see the colors of the ocean and the water and the other creatures that are happening and everything like that.
So can you explain to me when he was on, when you see him the last time and they have him on a ship on the outside of the ship, he goes, Hayami, and then disappears.
Oh, he actually spoke it.
Oh, blah, I blah, thought blah, it was telepathy. Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. We're going about 15 knots underwater with gushing everything everywhere. I'm going to speak and you're going to hear exactly what I'm talking about. It's going to breach the barrier of glass.
I'm sorry. Are we talking about the realm of reality here? Or are we talking about something else? Cause I'm just going to throw out there, man. I mean, like if we're talking about the plot armor, plot water, humanoid transitions, polar caps melting, and the only way to actually affect the world changes with nuclear war to get the change that you want. By all means, let's continue.
Nuclear war. Yeah, how did everyone get nukes? And not like one or two or ten or hundreds of nukes. How did everyone get their hands on just
nukes? Well, believe it or not, the countries that have them, they don't just have like one or two. They have a lot.
Oh, no, I understand that. But the fish people... Right
there, it's underwater. Everywhere's underwater. It's not hard for them to just like walk over and kick over the freaking hatch and go, yeah, that looks right to me. I'm gonna grab that. Thanks, guys. As the bodies float out of the holding area,
that looks like it belongs to me. Let's just let's take that.
Yoink, and thank you.
Yeah,
that's what happened.
One of the interesting things about this that I can't quite wrap my mind around, and I hope you can kind of explain a little bit. The girl that our main protagonist Hayami saves has red eyes and red features, whereas all of her sisters have blue eyes and blue features.
She's unique. And probably part of a different group, because there was someone else that she pulled out that also looked a little unique. And they were dead. Also, I feel like part of the reason why that she changed her colors because she was touched by a human.
Oh, yeah. That was a huge point of contention there, too.
Yep.
Did you ever... gonna sound dumb. I'm okay with that. You remember when her ear got beat off or cut off or bitten off in one scene and like 10 minutes later it's back?
Well, it wasn't bitten off. He was sucking on it and licking the inside of her ear.
Well, no, I get that too. But later on, he beats her. She got a black eye, fat lip, and she's missing a part of her ear. And then two scenes later, she's got perfect health and her ear's back.
No, it's still missing. Because it was at the end. At the end, it was the last episode when that actually happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought her ear was still, like, came back.
No, you were looking at the opposite side.
Damn camera angles.
I know, right? I know.
Couldn't possibly be an error in animation.
Nope. Nope. With the amount of plot armor and plot water this has, I would be surprised.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, man. I got nothing else. I have nothing else I could really say about this masterpiece, this award-winning show.
See, I can tell you don't think it's really worth too much, but unfortunately,
you can go for days on this bad boy.
No, I don't know about days, but months, I liked it.
Years.
I liked it a whole lot more than you did. That's for damn sure.
Yep. So, all right. Well, enlighten me, sir. What else you got? What else do you have for me?
Well, what I will say is one of the best things I think they did with this, aside from, you know, wonderful music. One of the worst things they did was the volume between talking and fighting and music. I had to keep turning up the TV up, turn the TV down, turn the TV up. Like, that sucked. They should have had somebody like rewatch that and been like, maybe we should fix this. And I absolutely hated the fact that you could barely understand on the first viewing what the fish people were saying. You had to rewind, play.
Well, see, the volume mixing for me wasn't that bad, but then again, I also watched it subbed. So,
No, I watched it dubbed. That was the only one I could watch it. I tried the other one and I had to pay for it, and I was like, nah, I'm all set.
Really?
Yeah, I watched it on Tubi.
It was on Crunchy.
And what?
Yeah.
When I look, okay. My internet did suck, so I 2 megabits. 2 freaking megabits. So I watched it on Tubi with ads.
Beside the point. Come on.
So the volume kind of sucked for me, but I really liked the dynamic. The fact that the leader of the opposition was the Shark Man, who was irrational, impatient, and extremely childlike.
Right.
Only to find out later that he essentially was a child and not like, 12, 13, like 5, 6. Mental capacity was extremely low. Violence was paramount. And I really think they did a good job displaying that mental acuity and mental evolution was not the point that the doctor portrayed in this particular character. This particular character was supposed to be stupid, was supposed to be in charge, was supposed to lead through fear and power, right, and was not supposed to be intellectually gifted. And when everything was said and done, that really came through. And I don't know about you, probably not, but in my opinion, I felt very sorry for this character, because it has a very rough grasp of its own emotions.
Yeah.
And it felt like a child who had lost its way. And given what happened, it felt very juvenile. And I couldn't help but feel bad, regardless of the mass genocide that occurred at its order.
Oh, yeah. No, I get that. But at the exact same time, I feel like that character was written right. It was written the way it needed to be written. And I agree, like the overall capacity, mental capacity for it was there. I feel like, though, they could have Kino, the girl that was with Hayami most of the time, the human girl. Mm-hmm. I feel like they kind of wrote her the exact same way.
Oh, I didn't. Well, that sucks. That really sucks, because I thought the writing for the shark character was done really, really well and was unique. And now that you said that, that blows, bro. That just makes it seem like it was lazy writing. And I hate to, damn, I was going to give this a good score too. I was going to give this a fucking good score because I loved it. It was good. But that one stupid sentence that you mentioned just now makes it very one-dimensional.
It was a pretty one-dimensional show for me.
That sucks because I really liked it. And with what you just said, it turned what I thought was a well-thought-out, well-formulated character who was given a very unique perspective, a unique everything. No, it was generic. They got lazy and they're like, copy-paste. Well, whose side are they on? Does it really matter? Not really. Crap.
Yep. So, anything,
well, with that, I don't have too much more. With that, not so much anymore.
Okay. All right. Well, on a scale of up to 10, sir, how would you rate this?
Well, 5 minutes ago, me was going to give it a 7. The me now, 5. I'm giving it a 5 because the visuals, while a bit odd, consistent and good. The music, I agree with you. Really well done, well put together. Probably the top 2 or 3 reasons that this is getting a high score, or rather as high a score as it's getting. It is something that I would want somebody else to watch because it's got a decent story. And maybe subbed is better. I hope it is as far as the volumes go. But I feel like this has, it's much better than some of the other 4s we've seen. It's much better than some of the other 5s we've seen. Because it's not just there. You know what I mean? It's something that it's unique unto itself. They've put a lot of work into it. If you take out how stuck ass the main character is, it's got a lot of different characters that kind of shine through, albeit rarely. But you can definitely see individuals there. You can see thought behind most of the other characters. And it feels a lot like a Romeo and Juliet romance kind of thing, where there's love in the middle of war and love has the potential to save all, which is absolute bullshit at the end of this movie, where it doesn't count for anything. And it's just what you choose. Can you make the choice not to hate, which I thought was kind of cool. That was the moral, I believe, of what this story was trying to bring out. So it's something I would definitely be like, hey, you should totally watch this. But I feel like it has a very specific timeline in which you should watch it. I don't think you should watch it after you've watched a few other better shows. I think this would be an entry point.
No, I wouldn't even say that this is an entry point. Personally.
Yeah, no worries. You know, I've also seen much better anime.
Yes. Yes.
So what kind of score do you give it?
3. I give it a 3. The reason why I'm giving it a 3 is mainly because of the music. That's why it's getting 3 from me. Story was right. The story was kind of sloppy. I really didn't enjoy it. I felt like the pace of it was not all that well. I felt it was pretty generic. I felt the characters were very lackluster. The artwork and animation for it was kind of all over the place. It wasn't consistent. I also really didn't care for it too much. The overall big bad guy and what he's overall trying to achieve in general was just kind of a disappointment, and just really sad at the end. So it kind of left me like, wow, this was a waste of time. Yay team. For me personally, I would not recommend this to anyone, honestly, especially as an entry point. There's so many other better shows that are out there. And that's about it. I mean, it served an entertaining purpose, and it didn't make me want to gouge my eyes out. So I can't say that it was 100% bad because I did not hem and haw all the way through it, thankfully. But still, I would definitely not go any higher than a 3 on this.
Understandable.
All right. Next week. So how I'm going to announce next week's choice and the verbiage I'm going to use, it's going to be a little bit different, kind of help lead us into it a little bit. All right. So,
all right.
Next week's choice, we're watching The Vision of Escaflowne. It is marketed as a classic anime about a high school girl who is transported to a fantasy world and teams up with a prince to fight against an evil empire.
Okay.
That's all I know about it, man.
I haven't seen it. It sounds interesting. It sounds well, I mean, you know, my favorite type of genre happens to be isekai currently. Well, it's a toss up. Isekai and overpowered. I like those things.
I mean, like it goes hand in hand.
Typically, yeah. Although there's one, we'll talk about it later.
Indeed.
Cool. I can't wait to see it.
All right. Well, that's all the time that we have for today. If you feel like we got something right, something wrong, did it too much justice, not enough justice, or anything like that, feel free to let us know. All our information for you is available in the show notes. You can also go to featuredanimepodcast.com. And we do have a contact form on there, this episode request submission on there. We are open and available to take requests, although we do have a lot that we do eventually need to start making our way through. We will get through it eventually. If you want to hear some of the pre and post show content that we usually do with every single episode, you can go to patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. The dollar a month will get you access to that bonus content. You can also check us out when we're live on YouTube. We do usually announce that we are live and streaming on our Discord. Feel free to join in there. We're usually kind of talking, messing around and everything like that. And until next time, I'm Jack.
I'm Rick. And we'll see you next time.